everybody. It is July, the very end of July, and just skating in under the wire is our next cafe. And if you do the math correctly, you'll know it's the one, the only, Simon Levon.
Yeah, well, I've been in the cafe all month, and I've been trying to get a word in, but I haven't been able to get a word in edgeways.
Oh, that always happens with the captain, doesn't it? Jeez.
Bloody awful, yes. How are you?
I'm good, my dear. How are you?
Adam, I've had an amazing time.
Well, I love to hear that. Let's dive right in, because I saw you pretty recently at the Kennedy Space Center for what I think was kind of could have been one of the coolest shows I've certainly ever seen Duran Duran
do. Yeah, it was definitely very, very, very special for all of us guys. And anybody who came to see it, really. I mean, it was amazing. I think we must start off with talking about the collaboration with Studio Drift, which is an art collective whose installation comprises 300 drones which fly up with lights on them, which change color. But they're also, they're programmed, and they have proximity sort of sensitivity, and they're able to flock and sort of dance almost. It's like a choreography. It almost reminds me of that, parts of it reminding me of the way that starlings flock. It's called a murmuration of starlings. I don't know what you would call it with drones, but it was beautiful, and we did the music for that. We extended the instrumental part of the Universe Alone, and we had a choir singing with us, the Joyful Noise Choir from Orlando, and we also had the Brevard Symphony Orchestra accompanying us. So there you go.
Now, had you ever...
Wonderful. It was wonderful, and we did a special space section. So we had, we had the Universe Alone, then we had Reach Out for the Sunrise, New Moon on Monday, we had Planet Earth, we had Astronaut, which I have to say, for me, was one of the high points, because it's a song that's been overlooked for some years, probably because it was quite hard to play. And we finished the little set with our cover of the Police's wonderful song, Walking on the Moon.
Which was great.
Now, that was very good. I don't think we'll do that again, though.
No, but...
But I think Astronauts may make its way into some future shows, because it's a very uplifting, dancey, catchy little tune, I think.
It sure is. Whose idea was it to do Walking on the Moon? Was that sort of a...
Nick was very much kind of holding onto the reins for the whole kind of space themed thing. He regards all things astronomical as his territory. But we were quite happy to let him do that, because he did such a great job, in fairness.
Yep.
And I think he's the person who suggested that song.
It really did sound terrific, and I felt like when I've heard covers of that song, I've not heard the reggae element as much as I felt you guys brought back to it. And for me, that's what I really liked about it. I thought it was great.
Oh, cool. That's good. It was a struggle for me, because it's such a good vocal on the original.
Right.
I didn't want to do a Simon Le Bon impersonation of Sting. I think that would have been completely wrong. So I had to really ditch the faux Jamaican accent.
Right.
And I started the song an octave below. I sang it low, and all the time I was went through my mind, oh God, I know what the audience is thinking. They just want to hear it in the higher octave. They're just going, oh please, I hope he sings it in the higher octave. So I did. I went up there, pulled my trousers up, and went for it.
Got through it. Well, everybody was really talking about that. It was a huge surprise, and you certainly did it justice. Had you ever seen any of Studio Drift's work before they worked with you? Or
well, I had a look online because I had not seen them in the real world. But Nick had seen them when we were out at we played a show at Art Basel when it had kind of decamped to Miami, and one of the art installations that was occurring was the Studio Drift thing, and that's where Nick saw it. But I hadn't seen it. I'd only seen it on sort of YouTube before.
Well, it was fantastic. And now you have a couple shows in September coming up on the West Coast, including Caboo, Del Mar, which is exciting. Do you like doing those mini tours sort of when you guys aren't on the road?
Yeah. I think it's important for us. We talked about this, and those of us who expend energy, physical energy on stage, namely myself, John, and Roger, who have to work hard physically on stage.
Right.
I'm not saying that what Nick does is any less strenuous, but it's not like a physical strenuous.
Right.
It's not the same. You don't have to reach the same levels of fitness to do what he does Roger and I have to do. We decided that Duran Duran should never go more than 3 months without playing a live show.
Ah, that's interesting. I don't think I knew that. So you've been pretty good at sticking to that, if I'm reviewing in my brain. Yep, you certainly have. And then in September, when you're done or finished, I think it was my dad who said, meat is done, people are finished. When you're finished, will you go back into the studio, which is, of course, greatly on the mind of all our listeners. How do you think you're faring in the studio? How's that going?
We're doing great in the studio. The album's coming on. I mean, I sort of feel now I need to get really knuckle down and get some, because I've got quite a lot of my stuff to fill in terms of lyrics. But it's very tough when you get taken out of it and you're on your own. I don't have the same kind of inspiration and motivation to finish the songs I do when I'm with somebody. So I'll probably get together with Errol, who's the main producer on it, Errol Alcan, and see if we can spend a bit of time together getting some more lyrics happening.
It's really going
well. I'm very excited about the music. It's quite a departure. It's into the realms of experimental for sure.
I love to hear this.
It has got that. Some albums are more kind of sort of mainstream, and others kind of go off on a limb. I think that the Rio was kind of a mainstream album, but the first album was a more experimental album.
Mm-hmm.
Now with this one, it would definitely be fall more in the first album experimental camp. It would fall that side of the fence, definitely.
Wow. So let me ask you a question: between Astronaut and Paper Gods, which one would you say was more experimental? Between those two?
Paper Gods.
Okay, cool.
Definitely.
So you're sort of continuing with your experimentation musically and lyrically.
It's a different kind of vibe. It's a very different kind of vibe to Paper Gods. But I think that's got a lot to do with Errol's involvement in it.
Now, I know we don't have an awful lot of time.
We don't, because I have to let the dogs out, because otherwise I'm going to end up splitting in two.
You're going to get in trouble.
Can you just hold on for 2 minutes while I go and let the doggies go in the garden?
I certainly can.
Okay, just stay on the line. I'll pick it up in 2 or 3 minutes. Okay, that's me back for an espresso.
Oh, my goodness. I have a seltzer. I'm so boring by comparison.
full caffeinated double espresso for me with a little drop of hot water, often known outside of the U.S. as an Americano. Of course, an Americano is also a cocktail. A good friend of mine in France, if you ask for an Americano, you get a cocktail. I was with a sailing buddy in the morning once before we got in the boat, and he goes into the bar and goes, Nick, can I have an Americano, please? And the guy behind the bar said, Americano? He said, yep, Americano. And the guy mixes him a cocktail, a very strong vodka-based cocktail, and gives it to him. My friend had no option but to drink it there and then.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's funny that
7 o'clock in the morning with a hot, bright, sunshine day ahead of him.
My goodness. Well, he was polite, if nothing else. But that's funny that you brought that up, because last year, this time, you and I did a cafe, and you, in great detail, told us about your favorite summer drink and how to make one.
Did.
And I wondered, it was on my list of questions to ask you, if you could recommend, as we close out this cafe, another refreshing summer cocktail for our listeners.
Oh, yeah, sure, okay. I would suggest what's called a Pimm's number one cup, or number two, I'm not sure. Pimm's number one or number two.
Okay.
P-I-M-M-S. Pimm's is this sort of gin-based drink, alcohol, which is it's got herbal flavors in and fruity flavors too. And I would say pour a very, very decent measure of that into a glass. A very decent measure indeed, I would say. Like about... two or three full measures.
Okay.
And then into highball glass, over ice, lots of ice, and then top it up with ginger ale. American dry ginger ale is just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then garnish with a slice of lemon, mint leaves, perhaps orange, a little... maraschino cherry, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even a little cucumber would be quite nice in it too.
Mm.
And that is called a Pimm's number one cup, or number two, I'm not sure which. But there you go. That would be the summer drink to have.
Okay. Have you had one yet this summer?
No, but I'm just about to go and make myself one because I like the sound of it so much it's made me all thirsty.
Fabulous. Well, I can't thank you enough for giving us this time. I know it was a bit of a rush, and any time with you is fantastic as far as I'm concerned. And I know we'll speak in October for your birthday, and maybe in September for going back to school and whatnot, you and I will surprise everybody with a reader. I know that
we've been
thinking about it. Well, thank you so much for your time,
right,
Simon, and we will speak with you soon.
Okay, bye.